You mentioned the landmark study that demonstrated this survival advantage. Can you talk a little bit more about that study specifically, entry criteria, design, and also your take on the key findings specifically?
So this was clearly an extremely important and reasonably unprecedented trial in MDS, which has now had results presented at the last two major international meetings. First of all, randomized trials in general in MDS had been reasonably scarce and hard to come by, and the original azacitidine randomized trial versus supportive care was an extremely important one in that, again, there had been a lot of general statements being made that, oh, well, there's not much you can do about this disease anyway, and why put patients through therapy? And it was so important to have the knowledge that actually supportive care isn't so supportive in this disease and is actually very hard on the patients and does not necessarily lead to a more pleasant life. Nobody was expecting that it would lead to a longer one, but it's not necessarily easier or more fun for the patients. In the current study that you're talking about, the idea was to take higher risk patients, so intermediate two and higher risk patients, and to randomize them. It was done primarily in Europe. And to randomize them, the patients, to treatment with azacitidine versus treatment with what was considered CCR, or conventional care regimen, was how they termed it in the trial. And that was one of three things. It was either supportive care, low-dose cytarabine, or conventional induction chemotherapy. And that just goes to show you the heterogeneity and difficulty of treating this disease, because for a lot of patients, it takes really a couple of hours of initial consultation to fully explain to them that how is it possible that anything from supportive care to induction chemotherapy is appropriate for my disease? How can that be? Well, it can be. And I think that the strength of this study is that the investigator was forced to make the decision about which regimen they would pick for the patient prior to the randomization, so that it wasn't that you would get randomized and then have the investigator say, oh, well, I didn't really want you to get that anyway. Let's have you get off the study. Here, the decision was made that if I would be treating you, I would give you either induction chemo, best supportive care with growth factors, antibiotics, and transfusions, or low-dose cytarabine. And once that decision was made, the patient was then randomized to azacitidine or conventional care. And basically what was shown was that in the important parameters, including survival and including transformation to AML, including major infections, all of these favored the azacitidine arm. Now, if you break down the conventional care regimens into the supportive care, the low-dose ARA-C, and the chemo, there the statistics become a little bit more difficult. So if you want to say, is azacitidine definitely better than low-dose ARA-C, this study did not clearly show that, because, again, that's about powering the study differently to have enough patients in each subgroup to be sure that that's fair. What it does say, though, is that, so first of all, the number of patients who got conventional chemotherapy was very small to begin with. The number of patients who got low-dose ARA-C was somewhat higher. And there was a huge number of patients who then got just supportive care, which had previously been thought of as standard of care in MDS. It is not. So patients who come in to me for consultation and say, well, my doctor said, you know, I'm too old, there's nothing we can do, that is debunked. And those patients should not be offered supportive care only, because on the major parameters, including quality of life indicators and including now survival and transformation to AML, it appears that those patients will benefit from treatment. I think that as further analysis comes out, what doctors want to know now and what patients want to know now is, okay, well, how many cycles of this do I have to get? How long do I need to get this treatment? And furthermore, if I'm not seeing a remission in the classic sense of the definition that oncologists are used to, is this drug still working for me? And this is another very important area of ongoing research with azacitidine, that for the first time, it looks like there are some convincing data that show that even if you are not meeting remission criteria, i.e. platelets of over 100,000, neutrophil count of over 1,000, standard leukemia type remission criteria, even if you're not meeting those, it's possible that the survival benefit and the reduction in transformation to AML are persisting. And as we get more and more analysis available from the FANOE study, it looks like there actually would be a reason for some patients to keep them on the drug, even in the absence of these conventional responses being met. So that's also very interesting. And what I say to patients when I put them on drug is I don't actually give a number of cycles. I say from the beginning, I'd like you to be on this at least for 4, unless something bad happens that you're tolerating it much worse than what I would have expected, because I don't think we can tell much before then. And afterwards, we're going to play it by ear and we're going to see what do the counts look like? What do you look like? How challenging is the therapy? But in principle, I would favor keeping people on drug for right now.